heard this joke this morning. It was funny, so I'm going to share it with you. First grade class, and the teacher's going around the room asking all the children what their names were. And so she comes to this little boy, and he says, "My name's Superman." And she thought, and she says, tell me what your name is. What is your name? He says, "My name's Superman." She was getting a little frustrated, I'm sure, and so finally she looked at him again and said, tell me, you said your name is Superman. What is your name? He said, "My name is Clark Kent." Positive life comes from positive words. And that might be hard to believe, but Phil read scripture that really supports that. Greg's comment about blind Bartimaeus supports that. And no matter what we think, comes out of our mind through our mouth. And we might think that sounds a little weird, but the Bible says it's out of the inner part of us comes the issues of life. And that whole idea of what we speak is who we are. You probably heard the phrase, you know, you are what you eat. I'm glad that's not totally true. But there's a scripture that I want to share with you. It's Psalm 91. And it says, she's taking notes. What Psalm 91 says, living in the Most High shelter, camping in the Almighty shade. What is that? That's being in the presence of God. You know, and I've said this before. We talk about the 23rd Psalm says, "Though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death," and I said, we don't stay there. We don't build a house. We don't park there. But Chris and Jill and Cindy and I, Lotta and Phil and Brent, a lot of people at camp know camping is where you're staying. That's where you're at. And that's what he's saying there. But he goes on to say, I say to the Lord. It's not just thinking it, but it's saying it. It's part of the habit of thought and word. You are my refuge, my stronghold. You are my God, the one I trust. God will save you from the hunter's trap and from deadly sickness. God will protect you with his pinions. You will find refuge under his wings. His faithfulness is a protective shield. Keep in mind the five words I say to the Lord. Because if we don't say it, it's not going to happen. I don't believe in circumstance. What we think and speak determines other habits in our lives. Whether we want to admit that or not, it's really true. What we need to do is get rid of negative thoughts, wrong thoughts, as soon as we can. We meditate on a negative thought, and it's going to come out of our mind. We meditate on a positive thought, it's going to come out of our mind. You can apply that principle to either one of those two thoughts and in our lives, either by developing a good habit or breaking a bad habit. It's the same principle. Joyce Meyer said, where the mind goes, the man follows. We don't do anything that we don't think about first, no matter what it is. And we must learn to say exactly what we want. That verse says, I say to the Lord, you are my refuge. If there's something in my life that I want to get rid of, no matter what it is, it might be overeating, it might be debt, it might be an addiction, it might be a thought, it might be a word. We shared this Thursday night, James chapter 1, and I mentioned it this morning in class, but it said, "Know this, my dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak." And I wish he put it in there, what it would have said, "and even slower to grow angry." But he says, "even slow to grow angry." So that's what he's telling us there. If I'm going to break a bad habit, I've got to start thinking about good things. I have to start and I have to make the decision. I have to decide within my mind, I am going to change that pattern. I'm going to do something different. And I've talked about this before, and I really believe it's true that we are what we confess. And I've talked to, you know, to several people. I've talked to several heroin addicts. Breaks my heart. And you can talk to an alcoholic. You can talk to anybody with any type of addiction, and they will tell you, and Alcoholics Anonymous even tells you, I'm an alcoholic. That's the first thing they stand up in a meeting and say, "I'm an alcoholic." No, you're not. I was. But I quit. I changed. I broke that habit. Whatever it was, it doesn't make any difference what the habit is. People get stuck in a rut of thinking that that's what they are and that's who they are. And that's not what God wants for us. That's not the perfect life that he's given us. Because it says, "You are my refuge. You are my stronghold." He's the one that gives us victory over that. We might have a habit of talking about people. We don't mean anything about it, but it's just a habit. It's just something that, you know, that comes to us, and, you know, and it just happens. We get in the midst of a conversation and we say something about someone. You know, if you can't say something good, as they say, don't say anything. I saw Denzel when he was in the hospital, and there wasn't a negative confession come out of that man's mouth about how he felt. Because he said he felt good. He had Helen convinced because she said he never complains. You know, and that says something for someone. That they don't complain. They're thankful for what they've been given. They have a blessed life. They have a blessed opportunity to be a part of this world. We talk ourselves into defeat. We can talk ourselves out of defeat. If I looked up there and I say to the Lord, "You're not my refuge." Then what's that say? He can't do what he said he could do. But it doesn't say that. He says, "You are my refuge." Phil read in the scripture today, and there's several instances of belief and unbelief. And we just go back there and we look at verse 18. And it said, "While Jesus was speaking to them, a ruler came and knelt in front of him saying, 'My daughter has just died, but come and place your hand on her and she'll live.'" That's faith in action. That's faith speaking. We got verse 21. He said, she thought, "If I only touch the hem of his garment, that's all I've got to do." She took action to do something. Verse 24 says, he tells them in the room there, says, "Go away, because the little girl isn't dead but is asleep." But they laughed at him. That's negative confession. So what did he do? He sent them away. "Get out of here. You're not doing anything to support the ministry." That's really what I think he was saying. "You're not doing anything to give these parents any faith." And then we go to verse 28. 28 says, their eyes were opened. Then Jesus sternly warned them. Oh, he's talking. This is the eyes that were healed. Let me look at 29 first. He said, Jesus touched their eyes and said, it will happen for you just as you have believed. Now we can, it's going to be touchy, but we can walk out here today saying that's not true. But that's not what I said. That's what the Word said. We talked last week about the habit of God, getting into the habit of God, and getting into the habit of reading positive stuff out of the Bible and positive things. God has a plan for us. He has a good plan for our life, and it's not sickness, it's not health, it's not debt, it's not sin, it's not addiction, unless you're addicted to Him. That's not what He's got planned for us. He's got great things planned for us. He's got great things planned for your children. Great things planned for your grandchildren. So why not change? Joshua 1:8 says, this is the Amplified Bible's version. It says, the law shall not depart out of your mouth. I'm not laughing at the scripture. I'm laughing at the clicker over here. But he goes on to say, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely, and what? Have good success. That's what it's all about. That's what God wants for us. This has to be the habit of our thought. And this is what we need to be thinking about. If we get into the habit of speaking life and live abundantly, it's going to totally revolutionize our lives individually and corporately. I've heard a lot of people recently say how great the music is around here. And I'm with them. Oh, I told you, this is one of my favorite songs. I love the way it was done. Last week was just phenomenal. Gabrielle sang with her cousin. And it was phenomenal. If you didn't hear it, get on the website. And if you don't listen to anything else, listen to that. But it's a very moving song. Very touching. So if we confess that to one another, it's going to get even better. And if we start talking about it here, we're going to start talking about it outside the church. And people are going to come and say, that is good stuff. But it's what it's all about. It's all about confessing and sharing. If you have ability, I don't care what your ability is, or you have talent, and you're not using it, you know what you're doing? You're wasting it. And you know what? You can't take it with you. Because when we get to heaven, Wayne and I are going to be able to sing.
I believe.
But it's not happening here. We will make a noise. And to us, it's joyful. We laugh. We kid each other about this all the time. But if you've got ability, use it. Don't let it shrivel up and waste away and not let it be part of this whole idea of serving God and being part of who God is. There's something spiritual in our word. It's kind of like the air that we breathe. We can't see it, but we know it's there. And we know it's encouraging. Well, we know it can be damning one way or the other. I love what it says in Genesis. And God said, and what we have? Water, birds of the air. And before each one of those things were created, it says, and God said. And I hope we walk out of here today saying, and Larry said. Or, and Butch said. Or, and Greg or Todd. Doesn't make any difference who it is. God said this, so therefore I can say it. I told you last week I was going to tell you about, you know, some things I wanted to change, and that'll come a little later. But one of the things that we need to really keep in mind when we talk about this is, how do we break a bad habit? If we want to get into the habit of thought and the habit of speaking positive words, how do we get rid of that other garbage that's back here? How do we get rid of that? Well, here's what I think it's going to take. The first thing, a strong commitment. It's not going to just simply say, I want to do this. Because any habit takes 30 days to develop, and it takes 30 days to break. So I have to make a commitment. If I want to make a commitment to be here for Sunday, I got to get up and do it. If I want to make a commitment to get up and go to work, I have to get up and do it. Make a difference what it is. Anything that is worth doing requires a commitment. It takes a commitment to be married to somebody for 52 years, 54 years, 60 years. Carolyn had to make a real commitment. But that's what it takes. It takes work. It takes effort. The second thing it takes an investment of time. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. I wish it would. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. We're going to have to invest ourselves in it. We're going to have to be committed to it. It's going to take a willingness to be uncomfortable. What do you mean by that? I mean, there's going to be some things that we're going to have to do that are going to be uncomfortable. If I want to get into reading more of the Bible, I might have to get up 30 minutes earlier. Oh, no. I can't do that. You can if you make the commitment. And you can read if you make the investment in time. But I got to be willing to maybe lose 30 minutes sleep in the morning and get out and go to bed 30 minutes earlier at night. That might be what I have to do. I don't know. And you know the fourth thing it's going to take? A lot of hard work. But anything worth having is worth the effort. It's not easy, but Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. And that's the key. That ought to be our key verse for the future. I can do all things. Making a difference what it is. It's a habit that we develop. And it's the commitment we're willing to put into it. It's the time it's going to take. It's that investment we're going to have to put into it. Might be uncomfortable, but it's worth it in the long run, because you can look back and say, I have victory over that, or whatever it was. I don't know what it could be. So here we go. Next point. Be very careful in talking about the habits you want to break. What do you mean by that? Don't talk about how hard it is, because you'll convince yourself it's hard. That doesn't mean it's not, because you got commitment, you got time invested, you got hard work. But I don't need to sit down and lament to Earl how difficult my habit to break is. I know it is, but I don't need to talk about it, because that becomes negative confession. Don't go out with a bunch of people and talk about how bad and how hard it is. Go out with a bunch of people and encourage you. Find an accountability partner. Pick up the phone and talk to them. I meet with three other guys, pastors, and it's kind of an accountability group. But we talk about, how's it going? Not just, you know, how's your church growing? How are you doing spiritually? How are you doing personally? What's going on in your life? And there's a Methodist, and there's a Baptist, and there's a non-denominational guy. There's two Methodists. And so we sit down and talk. But we're accountable to one another. If you think you're going to grow weary in it, think about that victory on down the road and how much better you're going to be without that. There might be an unlimited number of habits you want to break. Mine is unhealthy eating. I don't overeat. I just don't eat good stuff. I ate too much white bread. I ate too many carbs. Boy, are they good. But that's not gonna make me look slim and trim and more attractive to Cindy. It's just not gonna work. Breaking habits is the same for everybody, no matter what it is. I will tell you that that's the habit I am going to break. Bad eating. So, Bill, you and I are one-on-one on this thing. You can ask me next week and I'll tell you. Second thing, and if you want to break a habit, you've got to believe that you can do it. If you don't think you can do it, don't waste your time doing it. But remember Philippians. Write down Philippians 4:13, right? Just that verse so you'll remember what it is. Believe this time, even if you failed before, get out of the unbelief. Because unbelief is negative thought. And start thinking, I can do this. Because with God, all things are possible. Believe God's word more than your negative thoughts. I can't do this. But God said, I can do all things. Well, yeah, God, but I'm not sure that you can help me break this habit. I forgave you, didn't I? That's a lot greater action than helping us break a habit. 30 days is 30 days, one day at a time. Here's a difficult thing. But it was just like these illustrations in the Bible. And I know it sounds tough, but the principle of faith is this. I gotta believe it before I see it. And that's hard. I got to believe that what I want to break, I can do it. So do these things. Start your day by asking God for strength and guidance. Suffer for a season if you have to. Sometimes it's going to take a season to do this. Sometimes it's going to take some suffering. Be positive. Have faith. You know, I mean, we're pretty much in here about, you know, faith and belief and everything. And I do believe that. And I do believe that the prayers we pray today, I believe God will hear those. But I also believe He'll answer them. The next part of that is we have to thank Him this week for hearing those prayers. Don't talk about the habit in negative terms. Believe when you don't see any results. And ask God to show you if there's a connection between the habit and something else in your life. There sure could be. You never know. But work at it one thing at a time. Keep focused on the goal. No matter what it is. Cindy will tell you that you could eat probably off the floor or the carpet of my truck. But she comes downstairs and looks at my desk and she says, I can't believe it looks like that. And it's a mess. And there's just some things to me, I guess, maybe are more important than others. But if you want to get healthy and you want to drink a lot of water, keep water in front of you. If you want to read the Bible more, download a Bible app on your phone and read it while you're in line at the grocery store. That's not a big deal. Then you won't be reading Parade and Inquirer and Good Housekeeping and all those things. We need to get out of a rut. I read this story this week and I thought it was kind of interesting. As the West was being settled years ago, the roads were there only had wagon tracks in them, and some of the trails were very rough, and there was a sign that was put up there that said, be very careful. If you get in this rut, you're in it for the next 25 miles. And that's what a lot of people get into, a 25-mile rut. And they can't get out of a 25-mile rut. You can also get into a good rut. And some of these things we're talking about, the God habit, the word habit, the habit of thinking positive, the habit of speaking positive words, those are ruts that we want to get into. So here's the application. Here's what it's going to take, I think. I said earlier, be committed. Be willing to suffer. Be careful how you talk about it. Believe that you can do it. Look what's connected to this bad habit. Now, I know, and I've mentioned I eat, you know, too many carbs. I eat too much white bread. What's connected with that? A lot of things. Like this. But there's a lot of things that are connected to that. Health issues. You know, I don't want to die tomorrow. I want to be here in 30 years. I want to be here in 25. That'll make me a young man. Focus on one thing at a time. And ask yourself, what happens if I don't break this habit? What happens? What could happen? What's the outcome of it? My confession is, I can do all things. And Bill and I are going to, I'm going to be accountable to Bill. That way I know he'll be here on Sunday. I know he'll be here anyway. Here's what Philip says, J.B. Philip says in Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Don't worry over anything, whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer. And the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will keep constant and guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ. Here's a last piece of advice. If you believe in goodness and if you value the approval of God, fix your mind on the things which are holy and right and pure and beautiful, excuse me, and good. Model your conduct on what you have learned from me. Paul's writing this. On what I have told you and shown you. And you will find the God of peace will be with you. Think on these things. Be committed. Invest in time. Get ready for some hard work. But if it's something that's going to affect us long term, and not reading the Bible will affect us long term, not praying will affect us long term, but just keep those things in mind and let God direct you and let God work with you and break some habits if you've got some. Thank you.